This is Carla Dedessi with Your Family Matters, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Please stream in or tune in worldwide. We'd love for you to be in with us during this discussion today. Common Core is what we are going to be discussing with one of our leading experts here in the great state of Pennsylvania. Mr. Richard Felice is joining us. He is a retired electrical engineer. He had a career in space and defense industries. He's married. He has two adult children. He's living right here in Chester County. Most tirelessly, he is working, and I believe it's been for the last 2 years. He has been working tirelessly to educate families about Common Core. He's the Eastern Coordinator of Pennsylvanians Against Common Core. I asked him to educate all of us on what is Common Core, because all of the reading that I have done on Common Core tells me that it's constantly evolving, it's constantly changing. To me, Common Core is to our education system kind of what Obamacare is to the healthcare system right now. So, Richard, thank you so much for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Carla. Thank you for having me today.
It's my pleasure. Can you just start us off? What is Common Core?
Well, the best way to describe Common Core, realizing that I've been involved for 2 years on this effort, is to just break it down to very simple points and then elaborate a little bit as time progresses into the details of those points. But Common Core is nothing more than a set of educational standards to be universally applied to every public school district in the country. Now, these standards are universal. They will be applied equally to every learning demographic. And what I mean to say by that is they will be applied the same for high achievers, special needs children, children with IEPs, and children with learning disabilities. So in essence, it's a one-set-fits-all agenda. Now, that in itself, aside from the fact that it applies equally to every learning demographic, is not too objectionable because we can work with those other demographics separately. But when you have a set of standards that are applied universally throughout the country and add to that the fact that Common Core will apply a new teaching methodology with scripted lesson plans to it, then it becomes more controversial. And what I mean to say by that is whatever a student in Pennsylvania is learning, let's say at the third grade level, the same student or another student in another state will be learning exactly the same thing to a scripted lesson plan. So now we have everyone in the country learning at the same rate, at the same time. So let's continue.
So that's what Common Core is. So let me just ask you a question before we move forward. So will teachers be able to supplement? Let's say that because everything that I've read about Common Core, I'm not impressed with their standard. I also read that they don't have teachers that created this standard, and they haven't tested these standards. Am I correct? Like, our children are basically guinea pigs right now with this new curriculum.
Yes. Carla, let me just finish the definition of Common Core, and then you can ask all the questions you want regarding the aspects that you have addressed. So far, we've defined Common Core as being a set of standards universally applied.
Yes.
With a new, different teaching methodology. And then you couple that with the fact that approved assessments meaning tests to the standards with that new methodology will be incorporated into Common Core. Now, when I say approved, they are approved by a higher authority, non-state authority, like someone of, like in the federal Department of Education. And then you add to that that teacher evaluations will be based on student performance to the assessment. So we are forcing the teachers, based on how well their students perform in the assessment tests, to determine their overall teaching performance. So when you have all this together, you basically are establishing a curriculum which violates states' rights, because the standards and the assessments are not controlled by the state. They're controlled by a higher authority.
Okay, or they're not being controlled by the state, or approved by the state.
Approved by the state. Now, another aspect of Common Core is that the collection, and I'm almost finished here, so let me finish my thought.
This is
important. The collection of student data is going to be implemented, much more so than student data has been collected before. It will be disclosed by the student when he takes his test, and it will be redisclosed by a third party to others who request that data. And this will be done from pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade, and later, ultimately, it will be pre-kindergarten through 20W. And that means it would go through college and into the entry of the workforce.
Now, as a parent, as a mom, that's what one of the things that I'm most concerned about, that they are able to redisclose all of the information that they've been tracking on my children to a third party without my approval and maybe even without my knowledge.
That's very true. And that has us somewhat concerned. And that is one of the issues that we will address later on in this conversation. Now, the data collection system is referred to as a statewide longitudinal data system, which institutes massive data collection, which includes personal data, health data, disciplinary records, attendance data, demographics, religious, political, family, social, psychological, mental, emotional, behavioral, everything that is observed in the classroom can be, and most likely will be, documented and put into a folder which will track that student through his entire educational career. Now, when I define Common Core as being a set of standards that would affect every public school district, that's the way it's set up. But along comes David Coleman, who is the head of the college boards, has determined that the college boards will now be aligned to the Common Core initiative. So what does that really mean? It means that no longer will this be a public school initiative. It will also affect other teaching venues, such as private, religious, charter schools, and homeschools. Because if those students who attend these other than public institutions take the SATs, for example, as a requirement for college entrance, they will have to perform equally as well as those students who were taught in the public school system the Common Core way. So therefore, Common Core will affect all education in the United States. And so that's where that is the definition of Common Core as I see it. Now, go ahead.
So if I just want to give a shout out to, this is not only going to affect our families who have chosen to place their children in public schools, it is indeed going to affect those of us who homeschool or choose to send our children to private school. So this is really an issue for all families to just be aware, because Richard, I have talked to some women who do have their children in private school and they haven't even ever heard of Common Core. And when I tell them about it, they look at me as if they're a deer in headlights and like it's not going to come to them. But I really want to urge listeners to listen to what you're saying and really understand that this is for everyone to be aware of.
That's what we have encountered. I will say that we have a little saying that only 15 people want Common Core. 150,000 people know about it and don't want it, and the rest of the millions know nothing about Common Core. So it's a matter of getting the word out
right
to the uninformed at this time and make them aware of what is going on. You know, there's an interesting thing that I have to tell you, that all these standards, the standards are the same for every state. And in Pennsylvania, we have initiated the following, and that is, PSSA tests are given through in grades 3, 5, and 7, I believe, and then they transfer over to the Keystone tests in grades 10 and 12. I may be off a year here and there.
No, you're right.
Okay, so one of the requirements in Pennsylvania is that for a student to graduate with a diploma in Pennsylvania, he or she must score proficient in the Keystone exams. So that is going to be a condition of graduation starting in 2017. So,
Can we talk about how was this even introduced into the states?
Well, Common Core was introduced rather suspiciously undercover in the following manner. Back in 2008 and 2009, when states were having serious financial issues, they were hard strapped for cash, the U.S. Department of Education was given $4.4 billion to distribute to the states.
B with a boy, billion.
Yes, billion. Of which Pennsylvania was given $42 million, approximately $42 million, to do the following. Number one, implement a program of standards yet undefined at that time. In other words, it was a blank piece of paper. And if they guaranteed to adopt the standards, they would get a waiver on the famous and notorious No Child Left Behind, which none of the states liked in the first place. And, of course, that would be an incentive for them to sign on the dotted line. And as a result of that, they would be given the money. So here you have a state that is cash-strapped, are on the receiving end of $42 million. The only thing they have to do is agree to adopt a set of standards, yet undefined. They will get a waiver for No Child Left Behind. So the $42 million was like seed money to start the ball rolling. And nobody knew what was going on. The Department of Education in Pennsylvania took this money, and immediately upon the definition of the standards, started to work into the educational program here in Pennsylvania, the Common Core standards. And so it was a way of bribing the states to take the money to implement a new set of standards, at that time yet undefined. Now, four states have refused to adopt the plan, the Common Core standards. And those states were Alaska, Nebraska, Texas, and Virginia. And Minnesota only agreed to accept the ELA portion of the standards. Now, let me explain that. Mm-hmm. Common Core is rolling out. It's not like you throw a switch and everybody's teaching the Common Core. It's a phased entry into the educational system. The first part of Common Core is to bring in English language arts and algebra, mathematics.
Okay.
And that started this year in Pennsylvania. The second phase of Common Core is going to expand it into the sciences and history, and that starts next year. Now, keep in mind, you're going to have these programs implemented into the state, and by 2017, you're going to have to pass with a proficiency grade the test in order to graduate, the assessment test in order to graduate. So the big thing here is that there is a change to the educational system in Pennsylvania, and it's going to cost money to do that. And the way it was implemented into Pennsylvania, or introduced into Pennsylvania, was that the Department of Education said this would be a cost-neutral addition. And so, consequently, there will be no state taxes associated with the implementation of Common Core. But what they failed to tell you is that because of the requirements of Common Core, which we haven't even got into mm-hmm. at this time, it's going to cost the school districts a bundle of money to implement Common Core. So rather than have a state tax to bring Common Core into play, it's going to fall directly on the homeowners via their real estate taxes. So now you say, well, you know, education is education, standards are standards, and we have to pay this amount of money anyway, whether it's Common Core, whether it's XYZ, but that's not true. Because what Common Core entails is that every student will be equipped with a computer. All tests will be computer-driven. So that means computers for every student. That means software to be maintained at all times. That means a lot of data to be transferred because of this data collection. That means we haven't even addressed the details of Chapter 4 regulations, which is Common Core. It's PA Core Standards. We haven't even addressed that. Should a student fail the Keystone test as part of his requirement to graduate, then he is to be remediated. In other words, if you fail a test, you are then retaught, given the test again. And then if you fail it again, then you are retaught again and given a project-based assessment. Well, all this is over and above the cost that we are now paying our school boards teach our children. Now, who's going to pay for this? This is going to be absorbed by the taxpayers of each specific school district in the state. There hasn't even been a tally as to what this is ultimately going to cost Pennsylvania, what it's going to cost Indiana, what it's going to cost Florida, for example. Nobody knows what the cost is because this is an evolving program.
Right.
And we have never been here before. We don't know what to expect.
They should have started this in one state and identified if it works well and then spread to a second state. But, hey, I'm not the president.
Well, that is one of the things that we're concerned about, is the fact that these standards are untested. The methodology has been untested. The standards are unproven. We don't know what to expect, and by the time we find out what is happening to our students, it will be too late.
That's
we will
right.
have lost a generation of students.
That's right.
To complacency.
Right.
Now, you know, getting back to standards.
Yes.
Standards are fine, but when we take a look at how things are being taught to the standards, we find out that a lot of this material is age inappropriate for the student. In other words, they're giving students in the early learning years things that we would not consider acceptable because the student's brain is not capable of handling all the minutiae of the methodology that is being brought forth to teach Common Core. You know, one thing, when I use the word methodology, if the listeners take it upon themselves to go online and take a look at what's happening as to how students are being taught simple mathematical problems, you'll find out that most parents today will not understand the Common Core solution for a simple problem of adding two-digit numbers together. Now, you and I both know how to add these numbers. We add the units column, carry, if it's necessary to carry, into the tens column, and then add the tens column, and you got your number. You have your answer. But the Common Core way is a method where it's foreign to me, okay? And I can understand it, but when you try and teach a third-grade student how to add two numbers together that is not the classical way of adding, and if you don't do it that way, the answer is marked wrong.
Right. Richard, okay. I watched a video on this. It's called Lattice, L-A-T-T-I-C-E, yes. And it's very confusing, very unnecessary. It actually takes quite a long time. And I agree with you. We should do the standard way, which you line up the little columns. You have your ones and then your tens and your hundreds and your thousands. And that, you know, that works. And it is shown for decades that it works well, teaching foundations of math that way.
Well, I can cite an example of one of the people that is in our group. His child attends a school in Lancaster County. Excuse me, in Harrisburg. And his daughter, he teaches his daughter in the evening, like I used to do with my kids. I would say, what did you learn in school today? And they would say what they went over, and then I would reinforce that by doing problems, to make sure that they had the concepts well-defined.
Sure.
His daughter would add the numbers together the old-fashioned way, like what we used to do,
right,
and get the correct answer and understand the correct answer. But in a test, she did it that way, and she got her problems marked wrong because she didn't do it the lattice way.
That's ridiculous.
And so now the student has to learn the lattice way in addition to the right way, the way that we learned, because our way is more efficient, it's faster, you can even do it in your head.
That's correct.
You know, all right? So this is the thing that we're up against. Now, this puts an enormous amount of pressure on the student. It puts more pressure on the parents, especially when the student comes home and says, I don't understand this, can you help me?
Right.
And keep in mind one thing that we've experienced in Downingtown School District. The students are coming home without books, just handouts. They're given handouts how to do it the Common Core way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that's going to happen.
And again,
Common Core.
I'm going down a little tangent, Richard, but I just want to say that this irritates me that it sounds like they're trying to dismiss the parents' involvement in this, because we know that all of the excellent school districts are excellent because they have parental involvement. I just want to throw that out there.
That's true.
So for these schools to be trying to isolate, they need our help, and they're going to discover that too late, I fear.
Well, let's put it this way. New York is 1 year ahead of Pennsylvania in Common Core. And the parents there are going ballistic.
Good.
Now, if your listeners are so inclined to become more informed, if they just type in Google New York Common Core and you know, read the various articles there and see some of the videos that are shown, Pennsylvania will be where New York is in starting in September. And it's our job to educate the parents before September so that they know what to expect when their children come home. It will be full bore in Pennsylvania next year. And we need the parents to be knowledgeable of what is going on and what to do when they see what is going on. And they do have options available to them.
And we're going to address that in our last, but you know we're jumping ahead of ourselves, Richard, how we all need to get involved and mobilize. So before we go down to that path, can you also educate us on who are the people that are making this happen? Because I've been told that Microsoft has some involvement and even ExxonMobil. Now, what do these people have to do with Common Core? Can you explain a little bit about that?
Let's just step back a bit and say how the standards were developed.
Oh, please. I'm sorry.
Because they are the enablers.
Yes, that's right.
The National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers, which we call CCSSO, agreed that the universal set of standards should be applicable to all schools. So together with a company called Achieve Incorporated, which are nonprofit, Achieve is a nonprofit educational group, but it does have a political bias associated with it. Okay, all these groups, the NGA and the CCSSO, which are trade associations, they have no legislative authority. Okay, got together with Achieve and said, we're going to make these standards. Now, where does the funding come from? The funding comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
They're supporting this. And they're putting big bucks into the NGA and CCSSO to help develop with Achieve, who are the primary drafters of the standards. Now, you mentioned companies like Microsoft and GE and Google. These companies have an expressed interest in Common Core because, getting back to the data, GE will supply devices to measure things such as a functional MRI, that will be applied to the students.
Did you say MRI, M as in Mary?
Yes.
R-I?
Yes. It is a device. It is a mechanism used to establish how the brain reacts to certain situations. Now you say, well, wait a minute.
That is what I'm saying.
This is not education, but keep in mind that there's a 2013 report issued by, it's a draft report, issued by the U.S. Department of Education. It's called Promoting Grit, Tenacity, and Perseverance, Critical Factors for Success in the 21st Century. And in that document on page 44, four elements are identified as elements that will be used on a student while the student is taking a test on the computer. And these elements are a camera, a posture analysis seat will determine how the student reacts to a question, a pressure mouse if the student is tense and it is shown on there, and a wireless skin conductive sensor.
And this is, you, we believe that this is going to be, they want to do this to every student to track how they are reacting to educational material? Why do they want to know this?
It's not only educational material, but thrown in the tests will be behavioral issues, such as how a student will react to a specific issue. Let's say a specific social issue, for example. In other words, with all this data that's being collected, they will determine the physical and mental status of an individual, which will be documented and put in his or her folder.
I don't like that because it sounds like an invasion of my privacy. It's an invasion of my privacy. It sounds like Big Brother, honestly.
Well, yes. Now, companies involved in these things will stand to make a lot of money. Google.
So they're invested.
They're hoping. They're pushing for it. They're saying, we need this. We need this.
Of course.
But there's a payday at the end of the line.
Right.
Google, for example. Google has the Chromebooks. Okay, they make the Chromebooks. And Chromebooks are functionless unless they are plugged into the Internet.
Okay,
you can't use them unless you're on the Internet. They supply the service. Okay, and word has it, although it cannot be confirmed at this time, that they will supply the service for free with the expectation of getting and gathering all data that is available from the computer.
I was out to dinner last night with a teacher, and I was sharing all of these things that we're talking about, and of course, we'll talk about this later, but she was acting like she wasn't very concerned about anything that I was sharing with her. And of course, we'll talk about that later. However, she happened to mention that her school, September 2014, is transferring over to the Chromebooks, exactly what you're telling me.
Okay. And then you have companies like Data Recognition Corporation, who is a company that is on contract with the Pennsylvania Department of Education to handle and be the depository of all student data. They're involved in the testing. They're involved in the grading of the test. They're involved in determining the statistical analysis of test answers so that in the future they can re-ask a question a different way to get a different output from the student. All this is done to extract the personality of the student taking the test. Now, people do not see this, and it's very hard to believe that this would even happen, but why would the Department of Education have this lengthy document that I had named earlier, promoting grit, tenacity, and perseverance? You can pull that up on the web. Why would they go to this trouble of spending money to have this document prepared by a third source if they're not planning to use it?
I agree with you.
So, now I must say that if all this were driven from the federal government, the standards, and the mechanism for implementation, that would be a total violation of the 10th Amendment, because the federal government cannot get involved or state curriculum. But you can state curriculum in a roundabout way by applying the standards and the test and holding the teachers accountable to the performance of the students taking the test for their evaluations. Ultimately, you will be controlling the curriculum without using the word curriculum. So now other companies, Pearson Publishing, for example, are to be benefactors of Common Core. Pearson controls or publishes all the Common Core books. Books have to be purchased. Common Core books have to be purchased. How to define the methodology for doing problems will be coming out of one publishing company. So you can see where this is headed, where not only are the standards applied, the assessments tied to the standards, okay, you can see where the source of all education is coming from one publisher. And so that is what we call control.
And a monopoly, and aren't we kind of squelching any kind of competition or capitalism? I mean, what if I create a curriculum that actually shows it's making our children brilliant? We're not going to be able to use that?
Well, the one size fits all. Let me explain something to you. I don't know how your school district is, but I imagine, I think you've told me on a previous conversation that you have one of the high flyer school districts in the country.
Yes.
Okay.
But now, I'm still not very impressed.
Okay. Well, let's look at it this way. How about Radnor, for example?
Mm-hmm.
Another good school district.
And
why
are they
forced to comply with Common Core?
I was going to ask you that. If my school district is doing quite well and we have 99% that go to college and everyone's doing well on the SATs, why is this being forced down our throats? Why don't we save a lot of money, a lot of time, and only bring standards into the schools that are not doing well?
That's fine. I agree with you, but it's a hard sell because we have people with a lot of money.
And they want to make even more money.
They want to make more money.
By making sure that 100 of 100 schools must only use their approach, even though we already stated that it has not been proven to be successful.
That's correct.